Bible, turn to Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24. Tonight I'm going to preach a controversial subject. Don't you like that?
Amen.
Amen. But I'm going to preach something that some people are going to like and some people are going to hate. Amen. The whole counsel of God. Amen. Acts chapter 24. This is Paul before Felix. And Paul kind of gives his testimony, and we're going to look at that. And this Bible we got is a great book. And this book, what it does, God opens up people's lives and lets you look inside. And I love it. I love reading it. I love being able to carry one. Amen. It has rescued me in the time of trouble. Amen. So look at verse number 10 of Acts chapter 24. Bible says, then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, for as much as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself. I like that. He cheerfully answers for himself. Amen. I know people that don't do anything cheerfully. Amen. I don't know if they've ever been cheerful a day in their life. It says, because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship. And there's another thing. A lot of people have never worshiped God. Amen. Amen. They've watched other people do it. Amen. And if you ever worshiped him, there's something about that that draws you close to him.
That's right.
And a lot of folks, they just watch other people worship God. Yeah. And you wonder why other folks are closer to God than you are.
Yeah.
Amen. It might be time for you to worship him. He's worthy.
Yeah.
Amen. That ain't what I'm preaching about, but it sounded good to scratch that little itch. Amen. Said, and they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues, nor in the city. Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. And believe me, folks, we as Bible-believing Christians, we are the dregs of society. Amen. They think we are heretics. They think we're a cult. Amen. And I'm just telling you here tonight, we're following, amen, what the old-timers did. And what this nation is founded on and built on. Amen. And the Bible said in verse 15, and have hope toward God, and there's hope again, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. And I read all that to get to here. This is what I want to preach about. And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. If you do those two things right there, you will live above the snake line in this whole world.
Yeah.
Amen. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for saving our soul. Thank you, God, for the hope that we have. And, Lord, as we open this book, we're totally dependent upon thee.
Amen.
God, you meet with us and send old-time, old-fashioned revival. And God, bless the church here. Bless Brother Allen and Miss Linda. I pray you'll touch her tonight. And God, help us all as we all come in. My buddies are coming in. And, Lord, we're seeking you. God, do a work here, I pray, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So what I want to preach about tonight, and don't laugh. Laugh inside, but not outside. But I'm going to preach on exercise.
Amen.
Amen. I am probably the last person in the world that you want to hear this from. But the Bible says here that he exercises himself to have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. And what exercise means is you put it in practice. You put it in. You daily do it. And I'm going to tell you, since I've tried to lose weight and tried to exercise, it's one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life. And I'm going to tell you something. Having a conscience void of offense toward God and toward other men, that's a hard thing to do. And the people that do it are the ones that got some kind of victory in their life. Amen. And the same way, if you let your body go, which I know I did, Amen. I let it go. And I let it go to the point where people even told me they were so concerned about it, and I didn't do anything about it anyway. Amen. One of them is Brother Allen. He was worried about me, and being skinny as he always is. Amen. He said, man, I'm worried about you. You're overweight, fat. Amen. And do you know that you can hear it, but there's something about that that you don't even care? My mom, I got a picture. I was showing April and Brother Ken over there. I got a picture of her taken when I was at my heaviest, 360 something pounds, and I got a picture of her little skinny. She weighs 90 something pounds, and she's got her hand on my belly, and mom says, you're too fat. And I don't know, folks, I don't know when is the warning gonna sink in. And I'm not just talking about, I'm using this as an analogy about exercise and diets and all that, but you can see here what the verse says. Paul said, I exercise myself to have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. And I'm going to tell you, that hurts to do it. And it hurts to exercise. It hurts to lose weight. It hurts to stay in shape. You got to do something every once in a while that hurts. I've been preaching now in evangelism 29 years. Preaching and being in services like this, you try to get people to come to the altar. You try to get people to see their need in their life. Say, why? Because they've got something between them and God. And what you're trying to do, you're trying to be an advocate. Amen. You're trying to stand in between the balance. Say, hey, you're too fat. Or you ain't right with God. You got things in your life. I don't know how long, amen, if we don't watch what we eat and stuff. I don't know how long. Till when's the point of no return? Amen. In the same way, just physically, if you let yourself go long enough, you're gonna pay the consequences. I got a bunch of friends of mine that's got scars down their chest right here where they've had open heart surgery and diabetes and type 2 diabetes and all that. And I'm going to tell you, if you're that way sitting in here, and I know what I'm talking about, you'll take it and you just let it go in one ear and out the other when somebody says anything about it. And the same thing goes with this flesh. When it comes to between you and God, when you ain't right with God, it don't matter what anybody preaches, don't matter what they say to you, you're going to go on and do what you want to do. And there's a danger point in there somewhere that finally God just gives up. I don't know, there's a line there. And I don't know when that line's crossed, but I'll tell you one thing, it's dangerous when you see it. Amen. Young people are notorious for they don't care. Amen. What they eat or drink, it don't matter to them, and it pays a toll after a while. And I know, and don't come to me and, you know, bodily exercise profiteth little. That's right. But Paul said here he exercises himself to do those things spiritually. So it's all right to use the analogy. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, we're living in an age now, folks, that our churches are anemic. Amen. No exercise. See things go on in the church and people let it fester and let it go on. People fight with one another. When I was in Bible school, me and Dee, we went to PBI, and when I was down there, I got saved there. And I remember telling her after a few meetings, we'd have meetings down there then in the 80s, and buddy, it was on. I mean, they were swinging from the chandeliers and running the aisles, and we had services where God moved that you had to literally crawl to the altar. And I told Dee one time, I said, you watch. I said, if people start getting right with God in this meeting, and they'll invariably have to go to one person. And if I told you who it was, you would laugh. But it was the truth. I said, every time there'd be 10 or 15 people have to go to one person and apologize to them. Wouldn't it have been much better for that one idiot to get right with God? Amen. And not everybody had to get right with him when God moved. Amen. So wouldn't it be right here tonight if you're the idiot for you to get right with God so everybody else can have revival and they don't have to come to you and apologize to be right with God? Amen. And I don't know what's going on in here tonight. I don't know what you do in your life, but I know in my life, the song says, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. prone to leave the God I love. I know in my life, without getting right with him, without going to him on a regular basis, man, I'll let that go, what it'll cause you to do. Amen. We'll be back in the bars before you know it. Amen. That's why you have revival. And I love Faith Baptist Church. I love this church. I love you folks. But I'm telling you, you don't need, this week don't need to be camp meeting.
That's right.
We need revival.
That's right.
Amen. And it's not a preacher show.
Amen.
My buddies that are coming in, they don't preach like that. We're not going to rip, dip, and flip and jump the pews and do cartwheels and all that to see who the best preacher is.
Amen.
No, we're preaching so people get right with God.
Amen.
And the church not have a hindering spirit in there.
Yeah.
So you got something that, amen, between you and God, fix it.
Amen.
Get it under the blood. Amen. I know this about exercise. Number one, you got to start.
Yeah.
Amen. I have thought myself into shape many times.
Yeah.
I have thought myself skinny many times. Amen. There's people in here, Brother Allen, my skeleton weighs more than him. But you got to start. You got to start. You can't just think about it. You got to do it.
Yeah.
And we'll have altar calls this week, and we'll beg you to come to the altar. And some folks, you don't have to. They're going to be here. I could almost take a laser pointer tonight, and I could point on you the folks that's going to come to the altar.
Yeah.
And I could point with a laser pointer the folks that won't.
Yeah.
Folks that ain't never. Amen. I don't know how you stay right with God. I don't know if there's even a concept in your life that you want to.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you, I hope you hadn't went too far.
Amen.
I hope the point of no return hadn't happened to you.
Yeah.
Amen. I know this, at trying to lose weight at 57 is harder than when I did it at 47.
Yeah.
So how do you know that? Man, I've lost 3,000 pounds in the last 30 years. up, down, amen. And I'm not saying I won't never gain it back again. I've done this many times. I've lost 50, 60 pounds before, amen. But I've never gotten to a place, folks, I've never gotten to a place in my Christian life where I got to a level where I got right with God and it's all right from here on out. No, you got to work at it. And some of you sitting here have never started. Amen. I don't know where you'll be in a year if you don't get right with God. I don't know where you'll be in a year. I don't know if you'll be around us or not. Amen. I'll never forget, we had a friend of ours that went into hyper-dispensationalism, and he got off on all that junk, and he don't believe that God chastens anybody and all that mess. But it is poison. Amen. And they just take the Pauline epistles and nothing else. And I'll never forget Brother Danny. We went to talk to him, and Brother Danny looked at me and says, "Are you still one of us? What are we going to tell everybody when they ask about you?" And Brother Danny, Dee Dee, I'll tell you, he wasn't much for openly rebuking anybody one-on-one, but he did him. It was our friend. He goes, "What do we tell everybody? Are you still one of us?" Well, sitting here tonight, let me ask you, you still one of us? You let yourself go spiritually, you won't be around no more. I remember the year that we had revival, that where all the young people were hanging out at the firehouse.
Yeah.
Amen. I remember the firehouse revival.
Yeah.
Amen. They started hanging out there with all them guys, sitting around the evening, cussing and drinking and all that, and they started doing it with them. And some of them ain't around no more. Some of them never got right with God through that mess. Well, I don't know who some of you young guys are hanging around with. I don't know who your buddies are. But I'm going to tell you, if it ain't a place where you can get right with God and they're not, amen, trying to get you to stay right with God, get away from them.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
You got to start. Got to start. Amen. Amen. It's a bad term in the Bible, exercise. Amen. You know what you got to do? Count the cost. Amen, amen. And I know from being overweight, I know how you talk yourself out of it, and I know how this flesh is. Man, I've went on diets and got off of them, and one time, that's why people now, I don't eat anything at night. And they said, "Well, come on, you can eat this." No, I can't.
Amen.
You don't know me.
Right. Amen.
Well, here's some sugar-free cookies. No. No, uh-uh. That'd be like drinking non-alcoholic beer. I ain't doing it. Be like smoking one of them e-cigarettes, you know. No, I ain't doing that. Before long, I'll be buying Winston's again. Amen. I know me. Then I got people that actually get mad at me. Oh, come on, Brother Mark. This week you can cheat. No, I ain't doing it. You got to make up your mind. And some of you folks sitting here spiritually, when are you going to make up your mind? When is it going to be imperative for you to have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward other men? You got to start somewhere. Might be good to start this week. It might be good to start tonight. Amen, amen. I'll tell you what else, this thing about exercise, it's painful. Amen. Nobody relishes the fact of putting yourself through pain. Nobody does. And I'm going to tell you, this flesh cries out. Amen. You go to bed not eating anything, it'll lobby with you. Just one cookie. Come on, man. Eat some fruit. Do something. Amen. And I know in my life, I figure you're about the same as I am. I know in my life, as far as sin and things that tempt me, my flesh would cry after that. There's got to be a point, folks, where you say no. No, I ain't going to do that. I ain't going to do it. Amen. I preach all the time. I don't hear anybody else do it. I hear it a lot, but I preach against smoking. I believe you're a Christian. You ought not to smoke. Amen. I believe it's wrong to do. I believe if you're saved and you're smoked, it's because your feet stink, your nose is big, and you don't love Jesus. Amen. And you ought to quit it. Be good to quit it for revival. Amen. Now, if you ain't saved, but saved people, lost people know we ought not to smoke. I come one time and I was going fishing in a guy's pond that goes to our church, and he was working on his truck, and he was there, and he had his truck hood open, and he was sitting there working on his truck, and he had a cigarette in his mouth. And he heard the truck pull up, and he heard the gravel, and he looked, and he seen it was me, and he went, I mean, just slick as a gut, man. And I got out by my truck and I walked past him. And I went over there and I said, brother, you dropped something. He don't even miss a beat. He's working on a truck. He said, oh, Brother Mark, don't do that to me. I said, well, man, you's out here smoking in front of God and the archangels and the cherubims and everybody else. What does it matter if I pull up? So why'd you feel bad when I pulled up? Amen. If it's right to do, amen, why'd you throw it down when I pulled up? Like a 50-year-old child. I pulled up Kmart one day. That's when they used to have Kmarts. Now they're out of business. But I pulled up, and there's a lady in our church walked out of Kmart and fired one up. She'd been in her shopping. You could see, man. She fired that thing, and she seen me, and she went, I walked up to her and I said, hey, sis, how you doing? She goes, hi, Brother Mark. Are you in town? I said, no, I ain't in town. I just sent my spirit here. I was asking her how the kids were and all that. And finally, she looked at me. She's sweating. And she goes, you know what you're doing to me, don't you? I said, yeah, I know what I'm doing. And finally, she flips it down there and it almost burned her fingers. But if it's wrong, if you hide it from me, amen, why in the world wouldn't you try to get rid of it as far as you stand right with God? Amen. We've had people, I was at in Missouri, Brother Derek Collins Church there in, I think it's Walnut Ridge, Arkansas, and preaching on tobacco and chewing tobacco. I had another guy come down, he's a deputy sheriff in his uniform, come down the altar one night and threw a can of Skoal down on the altar. Crying. And after the service was over, he come to me and grabbed me and hugged me. I'm not used to sheriffs hugging me. Back in the old life, they did other things to me, but never a hug. And man, he's crying, and he said this. He goes, don't ever preach. Don't ever stop preaching about it. Because there's guys like me sitting out there that do it, that need to hear it. Amen. Amen. So I'm telling you, you ought to get rid of it. Amen. Amen. You want to have revival? You want to have personal revival in your life? Get rid of it. Amen. Amen. Got you a little bag of dope hid somewhere? Where you get out in the truck by yourself, go out in the woods, roll a little doobie every once in a while and get high? Get rid of it. Do it for the glory of God. Amen. Used to see it in revival meetings. I got in my collection box, I got a guy from this church that gave me a bunch of baggies wrapped up with a string around it where he got right with God and dumped out a bunch of his marijuana. Amen. I got a girl that one time I came here and she gave me a bottle of rum, about a 15-year-old girl, half full. She goes, here, I don't want this no more, crying. I poured it out here in this parking lot. It's in the box. Now, I don't know whether she stayed with it or not, but I'm going to tell you, if you get right with God and stay with it, your life, business will pick up. You'll wonder, hey, what's the shouting about in here? It's about that. God had mercy on us. God forgave us. He gave us the best life there is. But you got to start. It's painful to do it. Amen. Some of y'all listen to the bad music. So how do you know? I can tell by the way you dress and the way you act. Amen. Nobody ever got on dope listening to the Doucettes. Or listening to the Manorazies, or amen, the Drummond family. The music goes with it. Amen, amen. And I started hanging around with all the squares. That's what happened to me. Amen, I got right with God, and man alive, went to camp meeting and stuff, and these guys, they wanted me to go. I went and got my hair cut. Amen, I didn't want nobody telling me to cut my hair. Ain't none of your business, pal. Leave me alone. It's like Alan said, you're fat. Oh, that's easy for you to say skinny. Well, I'm telling you, you ought to get your hair cut.
Yeah.
Well, that's easy for you to say.
Yeah.
You got short hair. Yeah, you got long hair.
Yeah.
Why don't you get right with God?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. You know what it is? It's painful.
Yeah.
Mama's told you it's pretty. Or a girl's told you. They'll tell you that till your hair's prettier than theirs. Then they won't tell you that no more. Or if you have hair or not. It's painful. It's painful. Bible says, Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And buddy, when you start this thing called exercise in anything, you'll think you're dying. Amen. Get right. Stay right. Do right.
That's right.
Walk right. Spit white.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. And if you're mad right now, get over it.
Yeah.
It's okay. You went this long. Why in the world should it matter what I say?
Yeah.
Why don't you let the Lord deal with you?
Yeah.
Amen. I just figure, man, I just have my brown all the squares anyways. I might as well be like what they do.
Amen.
I seen that's what a man does. When I got saved, the men said amen in church.
Amen.
So I figured I ought to do it.
Yep.
So I remember saying amen.
Amen.
I waited until the other guys were saying it. Amen.
Yeah.
Nobody even looked at me. It's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Well, when some of you fellas going to start saying amen?
Amen.
Do you hear... Do you hear people saying amen? Do you know that's part of it?
Yeah.
Glad I'm saved.
Amen.
Do you hear that?
Yeah.
When are you going to do that?
Come on.
It's painful, ain't it? You're not a little ditty, are you? Amen. Oh, man. I go and exercise, go to the gym. I go early. When I go, there ain't hardly nobody else in there. And in my weird way of thinking, I'm saying, I'm doing this, nobody else is.
Yeah.
I bet you ain't no other evangelist in the world doing this. Amen. It motivates me a little. I'm going to tell you, the world we're living in, There ain't many people having revival like we're having this week.
Amen. That's right.
There ain't many people on a Sunday night that would even allow somebody to talk to them like I just talked to you for the last 15 minutes. And did say, yeah. They ain't going to do it. So you know what we are? We're folks that God smiled upon.
Amen.
This is still the old-time way and the old-fashioned way.
Amen.
You don't hear this everywhere.
Amen.
Some of y'all that are visiting, you don't hear what you're going to hear. If you come around this week, you'll hear things you never dreamed you'd ever hear.
Yeah.
Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. It's good.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good. I'll tell you what else in this thing called exercise. You got to develop a routine.
Yep.
Once a year won't get it. Once a month, nah, it don't get it. Once a week, don't get it. You ain't gonna get in shape once a week. We go, every once in a while, we'll go down to Gulf Shores down there in Alabama and go to the beach. You know, you're supposed to say the shore if you're a Christian. But we go down there and it never fails. There's some fat people out there jogging because they see all these other people in shape on the beach. So they're gonna take that week, really?
Yeah.
You're going to get in shape that week? Really? Amen. 364 days, you've ate yourself to death just about, and 1 week at the beach, you're going to run? Really?
Amen.
Well, you know, it's about that way in church.
Amen.
You mean you're going to do everything you want to do, just live the way you want to live, and never have any accountability toward God? And then the only time you think about him is when you're in here?
Yeah, come on.
Really?
Yeah.
Got to start somewhere.
Amen.
Got to have some kind of routine.
Amen.
Amen. Nobody else can do this for me.
Yeah. That's right.
Brother Allen, as much as he loves you all and was concerned about me as far as weight went, he couldn't do it for me. Amen. And the same way, you know how helpless it is to watch somebody die? You know how helpless it is to watch somebody die spiritually? Do you know what a pain in a preacher's heart are people that love you, that watch you going down, down, down? Watch you eventually leave and out the door, boom. Brother Allen could stand here for about 5 hours and tell you name after name and story after story of people that let themselves go spiritually. And they had every chance you had to get right with God.
Amen.
That's why we need revival.
Amen.
Amen. We need a time, amen, where you get that stuff on the altar and leave it here.
Yes, sir.
Get rid of it.
Yep.
I remember 1 year we came and I was talking about, I used to preach on them piercings and stuff all the time. These kids, they look like they fell into a tackle box.
Yeah.
There was two girls sitting over here in front of D and DD, and one of them had these two pins through her eyebrow there. And I was talking about how kids give them to me, and I put them in my collection box. And D heard that girl. She looked over the other one and said, "He ain't getting these." And that was what, on Monday night? Thursday night? They were right there. There was a purple one and a black one or something like that. You know where they're at? They're in the box. So what happened? God got a hold of her little heart. She took them out and laid them on the altar. Amen. I've got enough in there now. I'm not kidding you. I could start from that wall, and I could spread them all the way across here. I got belly button rings, nose rings, eyebrow rings, tongue rings. I didn't know people put stuff in their belly button. I spend every once in a while trying to get stuff out of my belly button. Probably not as regular as I ought to. I've got such a severe innie, I got to wait till I have a full stomach to even clean mine. Don't ponder on that very long. I was at Brother Chris Huff's church 1 year, Brother Allen, and there was a girl there in the church. She walked up to me, and she was crying during revival, and she handed me something. And she goes, "Here, I don't want this no more." She's crying. She put it in my hand. I go, "What is that?" And it had a Playboy bunny on it. And she goes, "That's my belly button ring." I said, "This was in your belly button?" I said, "Now it's in my hand?" We were at camp one year, and there was a girl came in there. Dee was in the kitchen, and she come in there, and she raised her little shirt up, and she had one in her belly button. She told Dee, "I want it out. I want to take it out." And they had trouble getting it out, didn't they? And Dee had to get a little alcohol thing and swab it because she'd had it in there so long. She said, what did she want to do? She wanted to get right with God. Amen. That's old-fashioned, old-time revival. Amen. We don't see that much anymore.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, because of it, the churches are dying.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I don't want to see anybody die. I don't want to see anybody physically let themselves go to where they have health problems and heart problems and all that, diabetes and all that kind of stuff, but that ain't what I'm preaching about. But you see the analogy. Amen. How long have you let yourself go?
Amen.
And I'm not just talking about getting right with God. How about with one another?
Yep.
You holding on to something somebody's done to you? I'll tell you what, that'll fester on you and you'll be miserable. It'll destroy your health.
Yep.
Yep. Amen, amen.
Right.
Hardest thing you'll ever do is go to somebody and apologize.
Yep.
I'm going to tell you, one of the hardest regimens you'll ever have as a Christian is to stay right with God.
Yeah.
Be times you'll do stuff, stupid stuff. How in the world could I do that?
Yeah.
Sorry, Lord. Then you name it to him and get it right. Repent about it.
Yeah.
Go the other way. Amen.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, the hardest people, you know the hardest people to say you're sorry to is the people you love the most.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. I usually tell this when Dee ain't around. I hate to tell it when she's here. But we got in a big old fight one night going to a revival meeting. Amen. So you all fight like cats and dogs. We're going down the road. I got my van, the big white van I used to have, a little trailer behind it, all our luggage. The kids are in the back, and we get in an argument. So over what? I don't even know now. But it was bad. Shut up. Make me shut up, big boy. Man, I'm bending the steering wheel. I said, well, how in the world could I go preach now? She goes, yeah, that's right, Mr. Evangelist. Wow. By this time, the kids are crying in the back. Dad, you're scared. I said, well, shut up back there. I'll pull over and kill you. Here we are going, I pull off the side. I can't go. There ain't no way. I'm just going to turn around and go back. Oh, yeah, that. But what are you going to tell them? So by this time, she's turning around her seat looking out the window. So I'm going on anyhow. It's quiet. I hear the kids back there going. So I reach in and grab a tape and stick it in. Turn it up, and it's Brother J.E. Glass and his wife. They've been married 205 years. Ain't had an argument in 116 years. And his brother Earl said, my lovely Lord. Said, you better get right with her. So now, you know what I got to do? I got to tell her I'm sorry. Don't look at me that way. So I'm driving, I go, babe. She's like, what? I'm sorry. Sorry for what? Amen. But let me ask you something. Would it have been much better just to go ahead and bite the bullet and get it right, me and her, or let it fester and ruin my ministry, ruin our family, ruin our kids? Which would you rather have? You'd rather quit, just keep fighting with her or get right with her? I'm going to tell you, one of the hardest things you'll do sitting in here tonight in a revival service is get right with your wife or your husband. We don't see that much anymore. So what does it take? You got to start. It's painful. You got to have a routine. You can't stay that way. Which time getting mad? Which fight is going to be the last one? Amen. Which is finally you're going to get, it's going to get so bad you're going to do something you wish you'd never done. Amen. Us men, we're dangerous. We get mad. Amen. We're so dumb, we're dangerous. Amen. My dad used to tell me when I was a kid, even growing up, boy, you get you a little old girl, don't you ever hit her.
Amen.
If you do, I'll kill you.
Amen.
I believed him. Amen. I don't know. I'm telling you here tonight, if you're a man that hits your wife, I have zero respect for you.
Amen.
Amen. Try that with a man.
Yeah, amen.
Any man in here.
Amen.
But how far do you go till it gets out of the banks? To where it's unrepairable. I know these pastors can tell you how many times they've sat in there and tried to help a family, amen, a husband and wife repair things, and it didn't happen. I exercise myself to have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men, especially my own family. Amen.
Amen.
That's good preaching, even if I am doing it. Nobody can do this for me. Preacher can't do it for you. You got to do it. You personally. Your wife can't do it for you. Oh, my wife has put me on many diets. She can't do it for me. Well, she did. She fixed you the right food. No, I go out somewhere and order a whole pizza and eat it myself in the parking lot. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Amen. Go to Krispy Kreme, order a dozen donuts, and eat every one of them. Amen. And come back saying, you got a salad for me? No, man, you ain't determined. If you won't get right, she can't do it for you.
Amen.
Amen. And, buddy, how much more spiritually? Let me say last of all about this exercise and exercise stuff. It has benefits. The benefits way outweigh the pain.
Amen.
Amen. An old-time, old-fashioned revival, getting right with God, there's benefits that it pays.
Yeah.
You know, people are watching us, these kids. I don't know how many invitations I've given in my lifetime. Thousands. You know, I've watched people, you preach a message like this, and you give an invitation, and I've watched kids, if we're standing there, I've watched kids look over at their mom and dad. Knowing they fighting all the time. Knowing they ain't right with one another. I've seen them look over and shake their head. Amen. You know what some kids do? You know why they leave church? Why, it ain't real. This ain't real. I got a young man right now that's married and got several kids, and he's watched sin go on in the church and people overlook it and sweep it under the rug. And you know what he says? Well, what's real anymore? If the preacher will lie about it and folks lie, what is real? When are they telling the truth? And they get disillusioned and boom, they're gone. You know these kids are watching? You. Preach to kids. I did 7 youth camps already this summer. We watch kids. You know what the hardest thing about kids are? They're going home. Amen. I say this, this kind of stuff I shouldn't say probably from the pulpit. I get in trouble for it. But most kids' problem is that they live with idiots.
Amen.
They ain't got enough sense. They ain't got enough spiritual sense to get right with God themselves, but they like to send their kids to camp.
Yeah, come on now.
And they'll sit there like a bump on a log. You like to see them come down here, but you won't do it. Spiritually, you watch other people, that's all, that's good. But what about you?
Amen.
How far can you go?
Yeah,
Bible says, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Amen. Will he revive us this week? Would God move? What would get God to move here tonight?
Amen.
Would it be us getting right with him and one another? But I guarantee you, amen, herein do I exercise myself. You know what he said before, Felix? This is how I live my life, amen, to have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. So tonight, that song that they sang a minute ago, Jesse, can you sing that? The song that April and them sang, that last song. What was that song?
Coming to a mountain.
Yeah. Can you sing that one? Today. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed. The invitation is plain and simple. You heard the message. I don't preach anything deep.